I'm talking with Helen Pitkin in the living room of her home on Hollister Hill on February 27th, 1973. About what year did you start coming up to this area?
Well, it was about 40 years ago when the children were just, the boys were small and Jane was just about ready to go into school. And we would, Tim was in public school work, and so we would come up for vacation. And later his brother from Massachusetts would come up for part of his vacation, and it was sort of a family affair, reunion sort of. And we lived at that time, we spent the summers in the house where Ronald Pitkin lives now, which was built by my husband's great-grandfather, I think. Anyway, it was built before 1845. At that time, there was no electricity. There was water came from a spring over near your place, down in the hollow there. But it came through a lead pipe, which is very porous, and it came through the dips and over the ledges and would often get airlocked, so that to get the water going each summer was quite a job. And then if it stopped in the winter, we had to go over and take the little toothpicks, they weren't, the little plugs, out of the place where we had built air holes and let the air escape, and then the water would start again.
Was the pump inside the house or outside?
There was no pump. It ran into a barrel, into a water barrel. And so it trickled in all the time, 24 hours a day. And you know, it didn't matter what you were doing. My sister-in-law slept on the ground floor near the kitchen. And it would waken her from a sound sleep if that water stopped trickling into the barrel. But no matter what I was doing around during the daytime, if the water stopped, I was aware of it. I was never aware of it when it was going.
Mm-hmm.
But if it stopped, it was important.
Yes.
So, and there was a well, a very shallow well. I mean, the well was deep, but the water was shallow, near the house. And we used that for drinking quite a lot. We also used it for other purposes if the water from the spring was very slow. And I can remember one of the things we used to do to conserve water, and I smile when I think of what people think they're doing now to save. We would save the rinse water from the dishes to soak the children's play clothes in. If you washed your hands and face and you hadn't really been dirty, you just were washing up, we'd put that water in the same tub. We saved anything that was clean enough to soak clothes in the wash tub to soak play clothes in, so that when we got around to wash, it didn't take as much water to wash.
And then what did you wash the clothes in when you were actually washing
them? In a tin tub with a plunger and sometimes an old-fashioned ribbed washboard if they were very dirty, but usually a plunger would do it.
What do you mean by a plunger?
Well, a plunger had a long handle about 30 to 36 inches long on it, a little bigger than, well, about the size of an average broom handle.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the bottom there were two cones, metal cones, one inside the other, and the inside one was at least an inch and a half narrower in diameter than the outer one. And there were holes in a piece of metal inside the inner one, so it was a suction action worked. The clothes. So you plunged your clothes and then you wrung them by hand and you rinsed them by hand, and when the rinse water got a little soapy, then you used that to wash whatever came next, like children's play clothes which you had soaked in this other water. Of course the lights were all kerosene and had to be filled, and the chimneys washed every day. And we had no, because we were there summers, we had no range hooked up, and we cooked on a three-burner oil stove.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one week, one 10-day period, the brother-in-law and his wife and two children and two friends of theirs came up. So there were 11 of us there, and I baked 22 loaves of bread in 10 days that time on the three burner oil stove. I wonder now how I ever did it.
There was an oven though.
There was an oven set on top of it. It was a portable oven.
Oh, I see.
And it would cover two burners. And so we'd do it that way.
How many loaves of bread did it actually hold at one time?
Well, I guess I could have put in, I probably put in five, at least four. And when I got 22 loaves, then it would mean that I had baked two loaves of some other bread, quick bread, rather than yeast bread.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during that same time that I made 5 gallons of root beer, and we bottled it. And
what did you make it out of?
Well, you get an extract. You can still buy the extract in many stores. I don't know if all stores. And it took the bottle of extract, which was very inexpensive, and I think 2 cakes of yeast, or now it'd be 2 envelopes because it's crumbled, and I've forgotten, it seems like 5 pounds of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Although that would be a lot of sugar for only 5 gallons. No, it wouldn't be too much. 5 pounds of sugar and water. And you put it in the bottles and put them and put them on their side on the floor in a cool place,
mm-hmm.
and turn them the first 3 days like they turn a good wine when they make it, and then it could be put down the cellar either upright or on its side, and this was available anytime the children wanted it. So they had homemade root beer rather than any kind of purchased. And it's much more economical. If your children like carbonated drinks, I would advise that that's what you do.
Was it ice cold? Was it poured over ice? Or was it just cool?
It wasn't poured over ice there because we had no ice.
Right. Yeah.
But the cellar was quite cool, so it would really be comfortable. I mean, it would be a nice cool drink.
Mm-hmm.
So that
Helen, the things that you described, were they more out of the ordinary or more what we would possibly call primitive than the techniques? Where were you living at the time that you came here during the summer?
Well, part of the time New London, New Hampshire, and part of the time down in Plainfield Village. The cooking arrangement, you see, wouldn't have been that if it had been year-round. We would have had to have a range. And many persons then would have a three-burner perfection oil stove for summer cooking.
Mm.
And many, many persons made their own. You can make root beer or ginger beer or others that you could get extracts for. I don't know as many of them made 5 gallons at a time, but they didn't have as many children around, perhaps. At that time, I don't know as I should say not many, but not many of my friends, I don't know how many other persons, baked their own bread. I was unusual. I began baking bread 40 years ago, and I've baked practically all I've bread ever since. I buy a loaf now and then when I forget to get yeast or something of that sort. But it's only in the last 15 years that bread making has become a popular activity.
Why do you think that you did it?
Well, I did it for several reasons. One was we liked it. The second was we felt that there wasn't a nutritional value in ready-made bread. And the third was that it was much less expensive. And we liked it well enough so that I often baked it in the afternoon, and we would have warm bread and jelly for dessert for dinner because we preferred it to something else.
Mm-hmm.
But if I figured people would say to me, you can't afford to bake bread now. Bread is so inexpensive. So I, on three different occasions during my baking life, I have kept very accurate account, even figuring in the fuel and the salt and those things mm-hmm. for the bread. And it has, the saving has, and I don't know as it would right now, but the last time I did this was about 20 years ago. I would weigh the bread when it was done and credit myself with the same amount per ounce that I would have had to pay for a baker's loaf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I found that I was earning, by the baking of my our own bread, I was earning what women were being paid when they went out to clean for other people. And I was doing this at home, and we were having something we liked and something we wanted. Well, I still bake. Now I have a freezer. This is one of the differences.
Mm-hmm.
So I can make a batch and freeze four loaves. The next week I bake another kind of bread, maybe rye,
mm-hmm.
and freeze four loaves. Well, Tim really likes white bread better, so the next week I use one of the frozen loaves of white.
Mm-hmm.
The next week I may make oatmeal bread.
Mm-hmm.
And freeze four.
And
so that
alternate.
I alternate different kinds of breads too. And of course I have to bake the white bread more often,
mm-hmm.
but I bake it from an unbleached flour that is, I think, a pretty good product to use.
Mm-hmm.
So I still bake my bread. I don't have to use kerosene lamps now, because when the Washington Electric came up through this area, we had electricity put in at the place we spent summers, and then they had it put in, not at the next house, where a man spent summers and raised potatoes and things, but at the next house down, which has just been sold to a doctor from Connecticut, and I've forgotten their name, but you'll learn it as you go down the road. So after it was all established, the man on the farm in between put it into his house because it was less expensive for him to hook on than it was to help establish it. So we've had electricity there ever since the Washington Electric came in. And when you have electricity, obviously you can have refrigeration, which
mm-hmm.
gives you ice cubes for your root beer.
Mm-hmm.
It also meant you could have a pump for your water.
Mm-hmm.
And it meant safer lights and the other modern conveniences that people in the city can have, so
mm-hmm.
that when you're in your home, you're as conveniently equipped as anybody anywhere could be.
Hmm.
So then the other thing that we always did, and still do, is have a garden. And again, there were more than one reason for that. It was an economical thing to do. You also had fresher vegetables,
mm-hmm.
and Tim and I both liked to garden.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a three-pronged pleasure out of that also. And then I used to can, which was quite kind of prolonged process, I guess. One day, when Tim was home, one weekend, I had planned to can string beans, and I did them with a pressure cooker. And you have to pick green beans when they're dry, or you spoil the plants for the future beans.
By dry.
Well, when the dew's off, but there's no rain. When the plants are dry.
Mm-hmm.
So Tim looked out and he said, well, it's going to rain. So he called the children and they all went out and picked beans. And then we came in and we all pulled the stems and tip ends off, and everybody helped cut up. The children were still small and they didn't work fast, but they helped.
Mm-hmm.
And we canned 35 quarts of string beans that day. And that was a real day's work, I thought. I was tired when I got through But we did it with a pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was much easier than it had been when my mother used to do it, and had to put these in a deep water bath, and it took 4 hours for each batch that she did. Mm-hmm. She did those in a big old wash boiler, mm-hmm. so she got a lot in, but it still took a long time. Well, now it's a matter of a few minutes to freeze beans. And
you freeze them Yeah. Do you think there's a difference in the flavor, or is there any difference in taste?
Yeah.
Which do you like better?
Oh, I prefer the frozen ones.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't have a refrigerator, I wouldn't be unhappy with a canned
mm-hmm.
one. But it's just, I think a very large percentage of people now who can afford the difference in the cost prefer buying frozen vegetables to buying canned ones. There are a few varieties of canned ones that I think really taste like they do when they come out of the garden, but not a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't freeze tomatoes. I still can tomatoes because I think their consistency is better canned and it doesn't take up the space.
Yeah. What else did you do those summers that you can remember, or especially in the transition that was slightly different before and after the electricity came?
Well, you see, we had just one car. So Tim would go to work in the morning after we came to Plainfield.
Mm-hmm.
He would go to work in the morning, and like you, I was left all day without a car.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did hand sewing. Once a week, I'd go down. Then I no longer washed. After we moved to, this is going to be garbled on this machine. After we moved to Plainfield, I would go down to the village once a week to wash and do a good most of the ironing,
mm-hmm.
and then I would go down and do the shopping, the errands, and go to the library and do things of that sort. But I try and do my sewing down there because I didn't want to, well, first we didn't have the machine up there, and then I didn't want to tote my sewing machine up and back. So I would do handwork, cut out and baste and things, and go down and sew down there and back up. So it was a sort of a pack horse deal while we still had the one car.
You mean Tim piled you and all of the...
With all the children,
right.
I mean, we all went down and, see, we lived in the house where the Witherspoons now live.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first president's house.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we'd all pile in and go down there and be there for the day and then come back up when he came at night.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really, in a way, didn't make very good use of my time. After I got the hand washing, well, after we got Plainfield, after I got the housework done and the baking done, I read some, which is good use of time, I'll grant you. But, and I worked in the garden, which took a couple hours each day. But the rest of the time, I kind of lolled around, which would mean about 2 hours probably every day, lolling around.
Did you, I don't even have a question that I want to ask. I like to loll around, so.
Well,
But I always feel that if I can do it privately, that it's sort of an incubation period. It can be either nothing, or it can be an incubation period for other things.
For planning and,
right.
and thinking. Well, but I had for a while to do that sort of thing when I was ironing or when I was washing
mm-hmm.
dishes and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
I've written more letters when I've been ironing, and you can shake a stick at it, and then I would get around to write, and I couldn't remember whether I'd actually written things or whether I had just made up a letter at the ironing board.
Yeah.
You know. Beginning when I was in my last year in high school, I had to work for my board and room at school, and I carried a very heavy load at college because I transferred from the liberal arts to the College of Agriculture at the end of my first year. And so it just always seems to me, when I loll, that I ought to be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've convinced myself now that I don't need to feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there's so many things I want to do that I wonder why I don't bring my knitting with me when I sit down.
Yeah.
Or I wonder, you know, why I'm not doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
Until I developed a primer in my right hand, I used to write letters quite a lot when I was sitting outdoors or even sitting in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do that now. I have to use the typewriter. And so I'm now busy again rather mm-hmm. than Wally.
Do you think that women perhaps have a special opportunity to do things like this when they're washing the dishes or ironing?
Yeah.
That men don't have during
yeah.
the day?
Yes.
And do you think that ties in with any different way of looking at life or perceiving life? Or it's a very vague question, but...
Well, of course, this is something you never could really check because you don't know what a man would do if he had that opportunity.
Right.
And you don't really know what a woman would do if she had to be 8 hours on the...
Mm-hmm.
job.
Mm-hmm.
Because even I think with those very monotonous jobs like the assembly line in a factory, you have to be sure and get the right bolt on the right nut tight enough
mm-hmm.
so that you can't really. Now when you're washing dishes, after a little while you preconsciously feel whether they're clean.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to look at them
mm-hmm.
and all.
Mm-hmm.
You wash them and then if you wipe them, you get the rest when you wipe
right.
the dishes.
Right.
So I have a feeling that woman is better off
mm-hmm.
for having the opportunity to wash dishes and iron. But I'll grant you, I like my dishwasher. However, I still wash all my cooking dishes by hand
mm-hmm.
and certain cooking implements
mm-hmm.
I wash by hand. And but to check up on this, when I used to, before floors were waxed or there was linoleum,
mm-hmm.
inlaid linoleum on floors, when I scrubbed my floors, I never composed any letters or planned any day's work, which I would compare with a man's.
Was there some reason that you had to concentrate more? Or?
Yeah. You had to be sure you hit all the spots, and you had to be sure you dug into corners, and the dirtier places you had to work harder on, and if you thought a mop would do it that day, and then you found the mop wouldn't, and you went and got the scrub brush,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I'm sure I never composed any letters
mm-hmm.
to my family
yeah.
when I was scrubbing the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But I often did when I was ironing. I think, too, a woman can, if she chooses to read the newspaper, can find time to sit down, maybe while something's cooking or while she's waiting for people to come to a meal or something, and read the newspaper. And because she changes her jobs frequently during the day, she can read a page of the newspaper and put it down, and then next time pick up and read more.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when a man comes home from work and sits down to read the newspaper, he reads the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother-in-law reads even the help wanted ads.
Did you ever find that disconcerting, Helen, over the years
yeah.
to know that there were particles of the day rather than whole days?
Well,
or did you learn how to adapt to that in a certain kind of a rhythm?
I have been told, and I think that I learned to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across a clipping the other day from a Cleveland, Ohio newspaper when I was visiting with the daughter of a very good friend of my mother's
mm-hmm.
in Cleveland. I was out on college business, and we got talking along, and when I got home, my hostess said, "You know, Claire writes a column for the Cleveland Plain Dealer."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "It's very likely you'll appear in it." Well, about a week or 10 days later, I had a letter from Mrs. Ansley and enclosed a clipping from Claire.
Mm-hmm.
And She had asked me something about my busy life, and I said, well, I guess the thing I did was to figure out in the morning before I got out of bed. I said, it takes me about 10, 15 minutes to really wake up and get mm-hmm. going. And in that time, I figure which one, two, or three things have to be done that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I hope it's one that I have to figure about. And then I go to work, and that is the thing, and everything else falls around it.
Mm-hmm.
So I could get my meals around it. But you see, I didn't have to iron that morning if the other thing had to be done that morning. I could iron even after dinner at night.
Mm-hmm.
So other things would fall around what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
If the thing I had to do was a meeting in the evening, this was simpler. But I had to get ready for the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I let other things pull apart enough so I could wedge in the time I needed to get ready for the meeting.
What happened when you had young children?
The same thing. Of course, when they were very small, before they got into school, if I was soliciting for the Red Cross or the Cancer Society or anything, the three of them went in the car, and
mm-hmm.
Tim walked, and this was before we were here and so far from the car, so far from Tim's work. They'd go along, and usually I'd take Jane's best friend, because Jane was one girl, and there were the two boys, and
mm-hmm.
so I'd have two girls and two boys in the car, and they'd keep reasonably happy while I did the soliciting. No particular changes. It was only in the way I organized things. I always felt rather fortunate that our second child was twins, because it made it easier to take care of three children that way than it would have if they'd been a year apart or 2 years apart. They were biologically identical, and their interests and their strengths and their mischiefs were all similar.
Hmm.
So that they amused each other extremely well. And Jane and the boys always got along very well together.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mean they didn't have differences of opinion, but they were only comfortable differences as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And so this made, that's why I said I took another girl. The girl who lived in the apartment over us in New London was Jane's age.
Mm-hmm.
And so the two of them would go, or sometimes Jane would stay with Eleanor, and I'd take just the boy.
Mm.
But I, of course, life was busier when the children were small. I put in little longer days, but because I did most of my sewing at night and
mm-hmm.
did some, other things like that in the evening, all my darning and all my home sewing I did at night,
mm-hmm.
because I was available for conversation if Tim wanted to talk, but I was, he wouldn't have to interrupt my reading to read
yeah.
something he was reading, you know?
Yes.
And I got my work done, and I was able to sit down in the evening and rest and all, so that
mm-hmm.
I didn't feel that pressure that I know many young women say they feel. And I'm not patting myself on the back for this. It just was my good fortune not to feel encumbered.
Do you think one in some way choose one good fortune?
Beg pardon?
Do you think people in some way choose their own good fortune, or is it just handed to them?
Well, that would be conceited if I answered it.
Well, or their bad fortune, if we could just generalize from that one statement. And not even possibly you could use somebody else as an example, even in your thinking.
I will think, yes, not completely maybe, but to a considerable degree, because I have known some persons of my own age who were growing up under the, I mean, were maturing under the same kinds of conditions that
mm-hmm.
I was, who didn't adjust as well. But my mother was a happy individual. And as I've grown older and looked back, she had no business to be. Many, many, many days. She had, there were things that she had to cope with that other women I know would not have coped with as my mother did.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up in a situation that was happier than many. And I have always admired my mother.